Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're going to talk to the authors of Green Opia in just a minute here, a listing of over 1,000 eco-friendly businesses in New York City. You're not going to believe some of the categories here, like developers and pharmacies. You didn't think these things could be so green or not, but we will talk about this. And we are giving away in our membership drive copies of the book, Green Opia, a guide that helps you live an eco-friendly life in New York City, with listings ranging from organic restaurants and grocery stores to dry cleaners, organic pest control services, even sustainable building suppliers, landscapers, interior designers who are more green than others. A pledge of $100 or more will get you Green Opia as a thank you gift. And remember, everyone, as we hope you rush to support the station here in our spring membership drive, that this is the last hour that we're offering the MacBook Air, courtesy of TechServe, as a contest. That contest closes at noon, and you don't have to pledge to enter, but everybody who has pledged so far is automatically entered, and you have to do it by noon in order to be entered at 1-888-376-WNYC. Anything you pledge, whether you take a thank you gift or not, it all counts, and you will be entered if you contact us by noon today at 1-888-376-WNYC or online at WNYC.org. So we're in the last hour of the MacBook Air giveaway availability. 1-888-376-WNYC if you're interested in being a part of that, or online at WNYC.org. Do it right now, and thank you. Now, these days when we spend some green, many of us want to know if we are buying green. To help us with this, enter Green Opia, a guidebook that lists some 1,300 businesses in New York, rated for their eco-friendliness in almost every category of business imaginable. And as we mentioned, we chose this for a thank you gift because it looks to us like a really useful reference for the environmentally conscious in your day-to-day lives. So if you never thought some real estate brokers or hair salons could be greener than others, whether you're looking for green doggy daycare, organic coffee, or cruelty-free silk produced by free-range silkworms, Green Opia has you covered. Here now, Gabe Brown, founder of Green Opia, which bills itself as the definitive guide to green living, and Ferris Kawar, Green Opia's vice president for sustainability. Gay and Ferris, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ryan. Thank you.
So there's a rating system, not stars, but 0 to 4 green leaves. How does a business get 4 green leaves?
Well, I'd like to speak a little bit about how the rating system developed, and then Ferris can go into more detail.
Sure.
We decided that since it is confusing for consumers to look for green and not knowing the difference between greenwashing and the true green, that we would take a stab at trying to sort out the true green from the greenwashing by giving these businesses green leaf awards.
Now, that's a great word, by the way, greenwashing. I guess that refers to businesses that try to pass something off as green when it's not really.
True. Actually, Ferris would be a great one to speak to that, just in terms of dry cleaners, how greenwashing and dry cleaners is the most common area.
Yeah, that's right. There's so much confusion out there and misinformation that everyone across the board wants to go green right now. They want to make better choices with their money, but there's so much confusion, there's so much misinformation that they don't really know what to look for, what to ask for when they walk into a business. And we're trying to help people, you know, by doing the research for them.
Okay, so how did you develop your rating system? What's in it?
Well, we have, in every category, what we're looking at is what is the business offering the consumer, whether it's a product or a service. And that's what we focus on, although it's very important to us to know how does the business operate behind the scenes. So first of all, we look at what they offer to the customer. And in a general statement, 25% of a business's products or services need to be eco-friendly in one way or another. So we're talking 53 different categories of business, so each one is going to have its own unique set of criteria. So if you're a coffee shop, we're looking at what percent of your coffee is organic, fair trade, where does the milk come from, is it organic, hormone-free, what about the sugar and the pastries? For a business to qualify, they have to be at least 25%. And then beyond that, if they have 50% of their product as eco-friendly, it is two leaves, 75% is three, and 90% or more is four leaves.
So let's just go down some of these categories. And some of them, as I was saying, are not things people would ordinarily think of to ask Green or Not about. And, of course, listeners, we're going to open up the phones here. Do you want to suggest a green business? Do you have any green business or green whitewashing experiences as a greenwashing? I hate to use the right word, greenwashing experiences as
whitewashing is a good word.
Consumer that you would like to relate, give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or comment on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for the authors of Greenopia, New York City, the definitive guide to more than 1,300 eco-friendly businesses and restaurants. So let's just have some fun with a few of these, because building materials and supplies?
Yeah, that's right. There is so many exciting things happening in the building world right now, and it's one of the biggest trends in the green movement is, everyone's heard about LEED certified buildings and architects that are building green, and there's all sorts of new products that are on the market to fill those homes with, to build those homes or apartments with, and you can pretty much do just about anything you want with a green bent.
Green liquor stores. You have a category for green liquor stores.
Yeah, absolutely. And, everyone has a glass of wine, glass of beer. Why not make it organic, look for something that's biodynamic or produced locally? And that's a really hard one to find. We've gone out. We went to visited every liquor store, every wine shop. And, we had to dig and find out who's carrying this stuff.
You have a category for green pharmacies. So I'm going to read a little bit from this. People walking down the street choosing between Rite Aid and CVS and Walgreens, they might not be thinking, well, there's any difference in terms of eco-friendliness or even the neighborhood, individually owned pharmacy. But some of your criteria here, you write, where vitamins were concerned, we check for plant-based versus synthetic, natural, organic, and or herbal ingredients. We evaluated a pharmacy's stock of natural alternatives to traditional personal care product and medications. For example, cough medicine, sleep aids, cold and flu treatments, skin cream, shampoos, deodorants, makeup, and soap, and the availability of health books and books on alternative medicine. Do you find that some of the mainstream pharmacy chains tend to be green in that respect?
You know what? They are beginning to start to carry more eco-friendly products. And it's exciting to see. But then again, if you're looking at one of the major chains, the number of SKUs, the number of products that they carry are in the tens of thousands. And when they carry just a small sliver, that's not enough for us to say that this business is committed to supporting and promoting homeopathic remedies. So we're very careful about just distilling down which pharmacies can you go into that are really trying to support the alternative medicines, the homeopathic remedies, and that understand how these remedies really work and how the human body works. So those are the people we're trying to find.
Gary, go ahead, Gay.
People ask us, many people are saying, why didn't you focus on the products? Why are you talking about merchants and businesses? And I actually just want to bring this up as a distinction. One of the reasons why we rated these businesses and gave them LEAF awards, because we call them truly LEAF awards, it's an internal rating system, but we actually are awarding businesses for their commitment to being green.
Mm-hmm.
It's because so many people have different ways of wanting to be green. There are some people who have been in this movement for, you know, many, many years that are pure green, and they want to have something that's only 100% pure. And there are other people that moms or people that are just starting out that just want to dabble in it. So these leaves we find are sort of an easy way for people to get around their day to try to start discerning what levels to go to. And that plays into why we chose to focus on businesses, because each and every one of these business owners are truly committed to the green thing. They're practice it through and through. They try to promote it. And so they're a very big help in learning how to be green. They're like the green tutors.
So here's a question from Peter in Katona. I have no idea if you have listed this product that he's interested in your book. But Peter, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks, Brian. You know, I just was curious. You know, I was hearing that small lawnmower engines are one of the worst polluters. And is there such a thing as a green lawnmower?
Actually, there is, and there are two different kinds. One would be the push mower, which is human-powered, doesn't use a motor at all. I think that's the best solution. But they do have electric lawnmowers. Yeah. You know, everyone has heard that these gas motors pollute so much more than your car does. And, you know, you should really look into trading that in and getting yourself an electric mower or even better, a push mower.
All right. Susan in Manhattan has an unusual one. Hi, Susan.
Yes. I happen to be a lactation consultant, and I'm thinking about the ramifications of basically breastfeeding is pretty green, but sometimes we have to use tools and we have to transport our tools. And so with an odd profession like our own, would you include us and how would you rank us?
You know, I'll take a stab at doing that, having had three children and lactated for a large part of my life. You know what? We hadn't thought about this, to tell you the truth. But it's an interesting thing, and maybe what we could do is consider putting it under website, because we find that the tipping point for many people interested in learning a green life starts when they have children. So maybe this would be interesting to focus on. So if I can encourage you to send me a quick email at gay@greenopia.com, maybe we can try to find a way to put this on our site. We hadn't ordinarily thought about it, to tell you the truth.
That's G-A-Y-E, right?
Just G-A-Y.
G-A-Y@greenopia.com. Okay, and we're going to continue with Gay and Ferris from Greenopia, their Greenopia guide to New York City. Eat, shop, live green. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we are offering copies of Greenopia, this guide to more than 1,300 green businesses of various types in New York City, as a thank you gift in our membership drive. If you're interested in it, a $100 pledge at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or pledge online at WNYC.org. And thanks. And we continue with Ferris Kuwar and Gay Brown from the book Greenopia, the definitive guide to more than 1,300 eco-friendly businesses and resources for New York City. You have Greenopia books for other places, I gather, huh?
We do. We launched Greenopia in 2006 in L.A. So we have L.A., San Francisco, and now the Big Green Apple.
All right. And we have a lot of people calling in to share either their stories or suggestions for green businesses in New York City or to ask you folks some questions. I will mention, I'm just going to go down the list here because your categories are outstanding and they're so diverse. Again, as I said before, I don't think that people would think necessarily that all these categories are things that they could take into account, they wouldn't think of all these things as either being green or not, but you have categories for eating out, eating in, beauty, goods, like gifts, accessories, office and paper supplies, florists, fabric and yarn stores, pet stores, green pet stores, house, home, services, transportation, travel, being involved, and references. Now, how about pets? What makes a green pet store?
Go ahead, Ferris.
Well, it's definitely the food that we're feeding our pets. As we all know, last year there was this big scare with the tainted food coming in from China, and everyone woke up very quickly to the possibility that they're not getting the most healthful product in their pet foods. And they also were also looking at, well, what do you shampoo your dog with or your cat with, and what is the flea treatment that you're using on them? How helpful are those? And we also look at not just food or pet stores, but what about grooming services and overnight services? So those are all really important to keep your pet healthy.
Susan in Richmond, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, it's Ridgewood.
Canada. Ridgewood, yeah. I'm sorry.
No problem. Hi. Yeah, you know, my dry cleaner says he's now organic, and I'm not really sure what that means or what questions I should ask him.
Well, Susan, this is a really interesting one, because in California, every dry cleaner has to change by law their machinery from what used to be the most prevalent chemical used, which is called PERC, to one, a choice of four different kinds of machines. And most of the machines that are being purchased are what we call hydrocarbon or silicon solvent, and those are being oftentimes advertised as organic or green. We don't consider those really all that green. What you want to ask them is this, you know, are you using hydrocarbon or is it silicon solvent? Or one of the other two good choices that you actually want to hopefully hear is that they are doing wet cleaning or they're using CO2. Those are the two methods that we approve of, because they don't create, other problems. The hydrocarbon and silicon solvent are actually creating smog and have other adverse chemical effects.
Interesting. So. We're getting some great posts on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to participate. Somebody wrote a suggestion. Greenwich Letterpress on Christopher Street produces all of their custom letterpress using 100% wind power. You ever hear of them? Is that in your book?
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now.
Second edition, Greenwich Letterpress.
We actually just focus on businesses that sell to consumers, direct to consumers. So that would be a B2B,
right?
The Greenwich Letterpress.
Ferris, we'd have to check it out, because I buy my stationery from Letterpress.
Well, yeah.
we'd have to at least give them a call.
All right. You'll have this argument later. Then somebody else wrote, my favorite greenwash, because we talked before about the concept of greenwashing, which is kind of fake being green. My favorite greenwash so far is the company Kangol, who makes caps and hats. I found a hat at a local store that was tagged loudly as organic cotton. When I looked at the actual fiber content on the tag, it was only 3% organic cotton.
Yep.
And that is exactly, precisely, Brian, the reason why we are not rating products. it's so hard to not work through the merchant system, because products, this is a really new area. And matter of fact, I'm going to Washington on Monday to Greenopia's receiving an award for our work in climate change and guiding consumers for a greener, healthier life. But the product industry is sort of all over the map right now in the certification. So we're sort of in the wild green frontier, I like to say.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
That's why we're sticking with merchants who really have the time to drill down into what their products are.
And I gather you're doing something with Mayor Bloomberg, aren't you?
We absolutely are. We're delighted to be partnering with New York City and Co. in their Bloomberg's sort of media arm, and working with them, you'll see us on bus shelters one day in the back of taxi cabs, and helping them sort of increase their awareness for their visitors and their natives in terms about green alternatives in the city.
That's great. And the book is called Greenopia. Somebody wrote on the comments page, I thought you were saying green opium. That's a totally different book, I guess.
That's right.
That's not one of our books, actually, but the word Greenopia came from green utopia, which, as you know, doesn't exist. So our concept is you sort of can choose your own green utopia, whether you just want to buy organic groceries or you just want to go to organic dry cleaners, whatever you choose is something that we support.
Jason in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
I have this is a great topic. I have a business. I don't want to plug the name if I'm not supposed to. Selling 100% flax linen bedding, and we've made every more expensive choice to have the green thing instead of the thing that's the easiest. I just wanted to point out that the customers really, really appreciate and even ask for these kinds of things.
What's an example of that, Jason? What's an example of green versus easy?
Biodegradable laundry soap, high-efficiency washing machines for washing everything, air drying for all the bedding is air dried before it's shipped out. We have email receipts only. We don't send out any paper receipts. And we have carbon offsets for all of our power that's used. We only use high-efficiency light bulbs.
Wow.
These are all things that, you know, honestly are more expensive choices, but we feel if we're going to do business, we have to, you know, I couldn't, with a clear conscience, pour a lot of Tide down the drain.
Jason,
so that's why I made these choices.
Plug away. What is your business?
The business is called Linoto, LINOTO.com, and it's 100% linen bedding made right here in New York.
Thanks a lot. Good luck.
We need to call you, Jason.
Okay. Jason, go to that. What's your web address again? I mean, your email address? Or you have a website where people can post?
Oh, yes. You can go to greenopia.com.
Right. Oh, and we've linked to that on our page, too. So if you forget greenopia.com, which shouldn't be easy to forget, but if you do, you can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show anytime and just look up today's show. Susie in Farmingdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susie.
Hi. My question is, have you considered adding green schools to the book or to your collection?
We do. Yeah, Susie. We have a section in the back that lists all the places in the five boroughs that you can get that have educational programs. So it's a little bit different than maybe a school listing a school that has solar panels on it.
Yeah, no, I know what Susie's talking about. I've done some work in this area where schools can choose to go green with the non-toxic cleaning products that are used inside. So important for, you know, little kids developing lungs. The fertilizers that are used on the athletic fields, you know, being organic. And, you know, one of the least green times of day anywhere is 3 o'clock outside of school when all those cars are idling.
Right.
Yes, and I'm thinking of our particular community, which is very tiny. And the kids are not bused to school because their idea is that they could walk to school. Well, consequently, a lot of the parents drive those kids to school, and the amount of cars going in and out is crazy. And then one idea I've thought of is, or heard of, is a walking bus where one parent goes at the front of the line, and there's one parent at the back of the line. They set up a schedule in town that would be comparable to a bus route and have a bus schedule and walk through town and have the kids join them. In that way, avoid all these parents driving into the school, dropping off their kid and picking up their kid later on in the afternoon.
Yeah, Susie, that would be worth including in a second edition.
Brian, just to add for Susie's benefit, Deirdre Imus is one of our advisors. Every chapter has an advisor just because with 53 categories, it's impossible for us to be an expert. So we join and team up with advisors and experts in their area in each city to help us make sure that we're on the right track. She is probably a great person for you to get in touch. If you just Google her, you'll find her. But she's been very involved in the local environmental school aspect and has greened several schools in just the way you're talking about. So I'd like to recommend that you get in touch with Deirdre Imus's office. She's got a great network of green moms.
She and I did an event together once around that issue. Manu in Manhattan wants to question one of your categories. Hi, Manu.
Hi. I wanted to question the use of homeopathy as a criteria for listing a drugstore as more green. I refer you to the latest issue of Consumers Report, Disinterested Consumers Organization, consumer-supported organization. They say that homeopathic medication have no effect because they basically are any number of chemicals, but diluted so many times that probably there isn't any of the original supposedly effective chemical in the medication. And there could be dangerous because some people who need some sort of medication may go to a drugstore, and Consumers Report was mentioning that homeopathic medication now is sometimes put right next to the other kind of medication.
Right. So, Manu, thank you for that. I don't want to dwell on this, but I was also wondering why, if your criteria is green, then homeopathy, people can debate the effectiveness of homeopathic remedies or some versus others, but is it an environmental concern?
Can I just take a stab at that?
Yeah.
Because I've actually studied this quite a lot. My son has autistic learning issues, and I have asthma. So I've been to various doctors from homeopathic to naturopaths to traditional Western medicine, all of which I support. In the criteria that we're talking about, you probably heard the word homeopathic, but it is not the only criteria for which we judge these pharmacies. If you look at the descriptions, either online or in one of our books, we add the word organic and natural, and so what we may have sprinkled the word homeopathic in there, but it is not the main criteria for which we judge these. Mostly we look for, as Farah said before, vitamins with no animal toxins and so various things. So it is, we put homeopathic in this category, but just so you know, we don't actually support homeopathics as an independent practice. I think that it's really a personal decision. These are just pharmacies that offer a wide variety of natural remedies, as including homeopathy.
We are fast running out of time here. The book, Green Opia, New York City, the definitive guide to more than 1,300 eco-friendly businesses in New York City specifically. Is it limited to the five boroughs?
It is.
And we are offering this as a thank you gift in our membership drive because we think it's the kind of guide that a lot of you, kind of reference book that a lot of you might be interested in having. So if you pledge $100 to WNYC, we will send you as a thank you gift a copy of this Green Opia New York City. So I'll throw in one last one here that I'm curious about because in your services category, you have banking and finance. There's such a thing as a green bank?
Go ahead first.
Yes. Well, it's, you know, think about where we put our money every day. There are some green banks in the United States right now that are very cautious and conscientious about where they invest your money. And, you know, we don't...
I see. So it's about their investments being socially responsible.
That's right. Yeah. So those are, you know, are they investing in coal-fired power plants or are they investing in wind turbines? You know, those are the things that we don't really see what happens to our money when we put it in a bank or we put it into a mutual fund. You know, so we're trying to show people where their options are to put their money or to invest it with financial planners.
And we leave it there. Farah Kawar and Gay Brown from Green Opia, New York City. Thanks so much for coming on with us. It's been really, really illuminating.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We are in our spring membership drive, and we are offering copies of Green Opia as a thank you gift for a $100 pledge. Thanks all of you for supporting WNYC with your once-a-year pledge. Why don't you do it right now at 1-888-376-WNYC or online at WNYC.org. Thanks a lot.